Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
The 2012 NBA playoffs will be underway this weekend, and the Dallas Mavericks are certainly ready for postseason play to get started. The good news, they have solidified their health situation. They're going to have a full deck. Everybody's going to be ready to go as they are looking to defend their NBA title. But first, we've got a number of storylines that we want to hit on in our next segment regarding the NBA. The big one is the fact Oklahoma City Thunder, their guard James Harden, of course, sustained that concussion on Sunday from Meta World Peace with that vicious blow to his head. He has been cleared. He will be ready for the playoffs, and we want to get some insight on that. So we're going to head straight up I-35, go into Oklahoma City, and talk to our good friend from the Sports Animal, Bob Berry Jr. And all I can say, Bobby, is watching that on replay, I grimaced. It was very difficult to stomach.
Well, you know, I could tell the world that you used to throw those kind of elbows yourself back in the day when you were a star for the Oklahoma Sooners, but I won't do that.
Okay. So
it was vicious and all, but I mean, you know, we have seen that from Ron Artest in the past. So I wasn't as appalled as some of my listeners and viewers in this market. You know, some were saying, "Oh, that's as bad as Kermit Washington's punch against Rudy Tomjanovich back in the day." And you know, it might have been. If James Harden would have turned to the left to see that elbow coming, it could have been that way where you break orbital bones and cheekbones and spit out teeth, you know, maybe so. But so I wasn't appalled by that, but I was like, you know, this is Ron Artest. He's done this a million times. He should be suspended. He will be suspended. And, you know, the Lakers better hope they make it past the first round. Otherwise, he will have cost them the postseason.
Well, Bobby, I had a chance to listen in to the Commissioner David Stern's pre-playoff conference call, and he fielded a number of questions about the suspension for 7 games. And did you concur with that? Did you agree with 7 games, or should it have been longer?
Well, I wasn't one of these guys that was saying, oh, he should be kicked out for the year. But, I mean, this is Ron Artest, and again, I refuse to call him by the name that he chooses to call himself, because he was anything but peaceful the other day. So I'll just call him Ron Artest. But one local anchor here in Oklahoma City had a great line. Alyssa said, isn't it on the 14th strike you're out? I mean, wow. This was his 14th suspension, now totaling 118 games in his NBA career. So in my mind, it was because this is Ron Artest, there should be more games. It's not that, oh, that was just an elbow. And yeah, if it were the other way around and James Harden would have thrown that elbow at Ron Artest, probably would have only given him 2 or 3 games, because James Harden doesn't have a reputation for doing that. But this was Ron Artest, who's done this a million times, including the malice at the palace and the riot with the fans and all of that. So because it was Artest is why I would have probably thrown the book at him. I probably would have said, you're out for the playoffs. See you next year. So I have to admit, I was a little surprised it was only 7 games.
Well, you're right, Bob, because in 2004, he served that, 86-game suspension, and he has been, throughout his career, involved in so many altercations. How valuable is he, though, to the Lakers when they will be playing without him?
Well, I think he's tremendously valuable. By all indications, all my West Coast friends were saying he was having a banner year, not just the fact that he hadn't acted up, but, I mean, he's a heck of a defender. We all know how strong the guy is. He's 6'6", 6'7", 260 pounds. He gets in the under the skin of everybody that he guards. He can easily guard Kevin Durant and James Harden, Russell Westbrook, whoever you put him on. And then, I mean, what cracks me up is we heard Kobe Bryant say after the game the other day, oh, come on, you guys know how sweet of a guy Ron is.
Right.
And we're thinking, you hated Ron Artest when he played for the Houston Rockets or somebody else. Kobe, please don't say that. So, he's one of those guys, E, and you probably played with some teammates back in the past. I know I've seen him in sports where you hate teammates. I mean, you hate people like that if they're on the other team. If they're on your team, you like them. But if they're on the other team, you can't stand them. And that's how Artest has been his entire career.
You are listening to the voice of Bob Berry Jr. from the Sports Animal out of Oklahoma City. You can also watch him on News Channel 4 on the TV. And so give us an update on James Harden. He has been a big part of Scotty Brooks' system. I mean, gosh, he's leading the NBA in top reserves with almost 17 points per game.
He just had a marvelous year, and we were all so wrong on him coming out of Arizona State. I remember when the Thunder drafted him third overall, I was like, you've got to be kidding, because I saw him play a few times at ASU, and he did not have his most stellar performances in the games I watched, so I thought that Sam Presti had lost his mind when they made that decision. Now, as it turns out, he's just a fabulous player. He's so court-savvy and aware of everything that's going on in a game. He comes off the bench. He has a tremendous spark. He's really a good defender, better than people know, the way he drives to the basket and his passing ability, the way he sets up his teammates. So he's invaluable to this team. He's the third offensive option, but you know, in a lot of cases, including in last year's playoffs when they made the run to the Western Conference Finals, you know, he won some playoff games for him just with his offense coming off the bench. And there was a big argument at the end of the year, okay, is it time for James Harden to move into the starting lineup for the Thunder heading into this particular season? And so Scott Brooks basically said, you know, he's too valuable for me coming off the bench, because if I start him, then I won't have any firepower to score coming off the bench. So it's worked out like that, and he was actually cleared to play. Could have played against the Nuggets, but I think the Thunder made the wise decision because they had the 2 seed locked up, no matter if they won or lost, to just sit him, give him a few extra days, and he'll be ready to go for Saturday's playoff opener.
Now, I'm curious. I mean, a lot of James Harden's success is really predicated on just some of those blindside picks that Nick Collison sets up for him, right?
Well, that's true, and boy, Collison and him work so well together. When those two guys come in, there's an effective substitute combo as there is in the league. They just, you can tell they practice on give and goes and picks and things like that every day in practice, so it's really fun to see them work together. But James just fits in seamlessly with the starters, and they recognize his value. So when we could see that with all the genuine concern shown by the Thunder when he went out with that injury, and I think if people watched the national TV telecast when he came out for the second half, he looked a little woozy, you know, walking down the hallway and coming out, even though he was in uniform to play in the second half of that Lakers game. You could tell he wasn't right. So I'm glad that he went through the whatever it was, all the extensive evaluations. And I guess the Thunder's lucky, Elissa, in that, you know, some people said the NBA's under no obligation here to speed through this criteria and these concussion-mandated tests. And so they could have waited a week or two, you know, could have drugged their feet, and James Harden could have missed games by virtue of not being cleared by the league. So the Thunder's fortunate that the NBA, you know, was pretty rapid in their evaluation and cleared him before the playoffs even started.
Bob Berry Jr. with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And, of course, down here in Fort Worth and in Dallas, we cover extensively the Dallas Mavericks. And we kind of want to get a pulse. I mean, we are having this conversation before we know, you know, who is going to be the Thunder will be facing in the first round of the playoffs. And perhaps it will be Dallas. But give us a scouting report on the Thunder. It seems like that they have had some struggles in March and in April.
Well, they're a team that's only 20-12 since the All-Star break, and they've had their tough times finishing games. That's been the one issue that's we've noticed. It's been hard to not notice. For example, the Lakers game, the same one we're talking about, where Artest elbowed Harden. They had an 8, even despite James Harden being out of the game. The Thunder had a 17-point lead with 10.5 minutes to go in that game on the road at the Staples Center against the Lakers, and then it's almost as if they thought, eh, so what, this half-court offense and all this passing around and involving everybody has worked so well for 3.5 quarters. Let's just give it to our all-stars and let them go 1-on-5 and see what happens. And so I would just critique them a little bit and say they need to trust what's gotten them there, talking about the Thunder, and work the Kendrick Perkins and the Thabo Sefolosha's and the other guy, even Serge Ibaka, who's proven to be a scorer. Yes, he's a shot-blocking extraordinaire. You know that. You've seen him. But
yeah,
he can knock down that 15-footer from the baseline, from either side of the foul line, and he can drive it. So I just I think there's been more than one occasion in this second half of the season where they've had extensive double-digit leads, and then they haven't been able to finish because they just kind of go away from what got them there.
And, Bob, you know it. I mean, when the playoffs roll around, it is more of a half-court game. It's not so much in transition and getting up the floor.
Well, it is, and the Thunder lead the NBA in free throw percentage. They lead the NBA in getting to the foul line and making free throws. So that's, again, the Laker game was so frustrating the other day because Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, who are fabulous players, both decided to try three-point winning shots at the end of regulation and overtime when all they needed was a single point. And these are guys that can drive it to the rim. Westbrook gets to the rim as good as any player in the NBA. I'll argue that with anyone. I mean, he's Dwayne Wade all over again, getting to the rack, and he knocks down 80% of his free throws. So I would just tell him, if I were, you know, Joe Coach, I would say, trust what you do and go do it, and why not win the game at the foul line and go home a one-point winner? You know?
Well, and how important is it, too? I mean, we see this many times with so many of the NBA teams. You can't get off to a slow start. I mean, that first quarter is very valuable.
Well, that's the other thing that's bothered me, their last two regular season games. Now, granted, again, their seeding had already been locked up, but a couple of nights ago they played Sacramento. They gave up 40 in the first quarter to Sacramento, a team high all season to an opponent.
Wow.
And then the game the night after against the Nuggets, they gave up 36 in the first quarter, so they have to get much better defensively, and they can. We've seen this team do it before during the season, and Kevin Durant, I was happy to hear when people were peppering him with questions about, can you win your third straight scoring title? Will, you know, will you watch Kobe trying to dethrone you, whatever? Kevin goes, I'm not only not going to watch, he said, I'm going to work on my defense. I think we need to be better defensively going into the playoffs, and he's absolutely right.
Well, they talk about that, being those lockdown defenders. And one more quick question I got to ask you about is, he made his debut, you know, in the middle of March, what, March 21st, against the Clippers, and that, of course, is Derek Fisher. What has his impact been as far as with the Thunder?
Well, it's a great question. It's an unanswered. It's like an incomplete test. There's no question the players respect him because he's the head of the NBA Players Association, number one. He's got five rings. You know, it's just like when Kendrick Perkins walked into the Thunder camp for the first time. They went, ooh, it's that guy that's got a ring for the Celtics. So he had instant credibility, Derek Fisher did, yet he's nowhere near the offensive player he used to be, and he's probably nowhere near the defensive player he used to be. So he hasn't really added much there yet. Now, Scott Brooks has been giving him minutes, but in some cases, we've thought too many minutes, to be quite frank with you. And Derek, you know, he'll be a valuable guy in the playoffs again because of the experience, and he keeps everybody level-headed, and they listen to what he has to say. But I think as Daquan Cook has finally shot his way out of a miserable shooting slump, Thabo Sefolosha has come back from an injury that cost him 20-25 regular season games. As these guys continue to improve, I think Fisher's minutes might go down. But he hasn't really provided a whole lot offensively. He hasn't hit his shot at all. He's in a really poor shooting percentage. And his defense has just been okay, but there's no question you can see his off-court leadership has affected this team a little bit.
Okay, well, the Thunder, you know, they're a young team. The chemistry is a very big part of this. How long do you think Derek Fisher will stick around? How long do you think they'll have him within this system?
You know, I wish I knew the economics of it all. I could see him being gone after this year, to be honest with you. Unless, you know, if somebody, I don't know if the Lakers owe him a bunch of money or if the Thunder is getting away from really not having to pay him much by, you know, by him buying out his deal with the Rockets and joining the Thunder. But I, you know, unless there's some, you know, just unbelievable influence behind the scenes that we don't know about, I would be kind of surprised if Derek Fisher's back with the Thunder next year.
Okay, so if it is the Dallas Mavericks and the Thunder, how do you think this whole thing's going to play out?
Well, I tell you, when I look at the matchups, no offense to the Mavs because they won it all a year ago, but man, they lost so much. You know that. This is not the same Mavericks team by a long shot that Oklahoma City played last year and lost 2-5 games in the Western Conference Finals. So we were talking about it last night on our local radio station here in Oklahoma City, and I said I prefer the Mavericks over all these other teams because Memphis, Denver, and Utah just have a bunch of tough guys that aren't afraid of anyone. And Dallas has, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, and Jet Terry, no question. But other than that, they've lost so much toughness off that championship team from a year ago. Even Caron Butler, I thought, was a tough guy. And I know he wasn't there for Dallas's stretch run, but he was at the start of the year. So I just think it's a favorable matchup for the Thunder, as favorable as they can get in the first round. And there's a reason Dallas is the seventh seed. They haven't been as strong as they were a year ago, not even close.
Well, and they've certainly had to deal with a lot of health issues, so we'll see how it all plays out. And perhaps I will get to see you, Bobby. It's always great to catch up with you.
Oh, the old I-35 Series E. Can't wait for it.
We'll talk to you real soon. Take care.
Thank you.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.